This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. K-A-Y-T. Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 11. And for just a moment, I want to talk about how great is our God. The Word of God says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. How great is our God? I couldn't have framed this better than this. I don't know if Chad was looking in my prayer room, but how appropriate is this setting for our God. When we look at this word, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I like the way that is phrased, because when they put amen at the end, that means that's the end. It means so be it so, or may it be fulfilled. Amen. So be it. When you say amen to something, you're saying so be it. Or you're saying be it so. Or you're saying may it be fulfilled. That's why the old folk who had a little Jesus in them wouldn't say amen to everything. If the preacher was preaching and they didn't feel it in their spirit and didn't see it in the word, instead of saying amen, they say, well, yeah, amen meant something to them. And it ought to mean something to us today. To him, somebody might be sitting here saying, well, who is the him? They may not be, you know, as well versed in the word as you are, and they may not know that verse 10 tells you who the him is. It says, but the God of all grace. But the God of all grace. That's how it starts off. It's talking about him. It's talking about him. So first of all, you need to know about this verse. It's talking about directed praise, directed to him, not to everybody else, not to some other potentate or power, but to him, our God, the supreme God, the sovereign God. It is in this word, my brothers and my sisters, that it entails the fact that he himself has all to do with all that is glorious. He that is almighty, all powerful. He is the one who spoke and worlds existed, spoke and worlds ceased to exist. He is the one that is worthy of all praise, glory, and honor to him. You have got to learn that you have got to be connected to him in an intimate way, in a way that he himself can flow into you. Because of him, we move, live, move, and have our being. Everything that exists is because of him. And so when we look at this, you're going to note that he himself is in three parts. Because even Jesus Christ, by whom he brought us into eternal glory, it says, by Jesus in verse 10, make sure that you understand that they all collectively work together as one. The Holy Spirit's job to convict us and to convert us and to convince us has much to do. He's the third party of him. And so when you begin to understand, as it phrases this verse, and as we see this verse, it helps us to focus in on him. God is something about his own name. He's something about his own word. He's something about his own will and something about his own way that he desires his own people to follow. Amen. To him. See, God is a jealous God. How many of you knew that? God doesn't want no other God. Before him, behind him, around him, in any sense of having any inclusiveness in your life. He's the only God that can lead us from earth to glory. Now, there may be some other gods, but they are inferior to our God. And they're limited in scope and ability. But our God, great is our God. Time would not permit to tell you how great our God is. The psalmist keeps talking about his greatness and reveals to us his greatness. You read the book from cover to cover, and it's filled with his greatness. You get a sense of the awesomeness of our God, and that's why you got to know him for yourself. Mama may have known him, daddy may have known him, sister, brother, preacher, deacons, all, but you've got to know him for yourself. It's directed praise. But not only is it directed praise, but the word says that it's deserved praise. It says, be glory and dominion forever. So that's the reason why we direct our praise to God. It's because he deserves it. Anybody who is, and this word be, it means really is, it means that glory and dominion is his forever. When it says be glory, it meant it is glory and dominion. In the Eastern country, their phraseology is different from the Western. And so literally it means that our God is glorious, who has glorious glory and is dominating everything that there is. There is no power greater than his power. So when you look at the word glory, to him be glory. To him who is glory. It's talking about majesty, splendor, brightness. It's talking about excellence. It's talking about preeminence. When it talks about glory, it's talking about everything that speaks superlative to God. Glory be God's. And listen to this. When you recognize that, you put your two cents in with others who recognize his glory. That's why I say, give God glory. Give him the glory. Listen, what glory you have in you comes from him, and he wants the best part of you going back to him. You have been created to make his praise glorious. God wants a witness. I said God wants a witness. And he wants his work to witness the fact that he is glorious. Who better than his own creation can share the fact that he's glorious? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. But then the word says dominion. And dominion means force, strong power. It means strength. It means the ability to overpower something. Listen, it has everything to do with might and power. And so when it talks about dominion, God has dominion over everything. There is nothing that is here without him. There's nothing that remains here unless he permits it or allows it to be here. Everything is subject to him. Even Satan on his reign is on lease. And he know that as he is on lease, he's also on a leash. He can only go but so far. And that's as far as God will allow him. Well, Romans 8:31 say, if God be for you, who can be against you? That means Satan can't be against you if God is for you and works out. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I'm talking about those who know God and God knows them. Relationship. So I'm just trying to tell you, his power, his dominion is so great that there is nothing or no one, no other power potentate who can even match his power. And so that's why demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Because they don't know if that day is the day that their world comes to an end. Dominion. And so my brothers and sisters, when you understand God deserves something, it's one thing when you desire something. It's a whole nother thing when you deserve something. You know, you might desire folk, you know, to want to do this and want to do that for you. But when you deserve them, that's why it's clear that every knee shall bow. I'm talking about those voluntary and those involuntary. Those who want to do it and those who don't want to do it. Those who believe in God and those who don't believe there is a God. All of them, every one of us shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Everyone. Why? Because he has dominion. Dominion. When you think about how great our God is, the question becomes, is there anything too hard for the Lord? You think about it. Whatever is your issue, your problem, your situation, your complaint, the question becomes, because our God is so great, is there anything too hard for him? Might be too hard for you. Might be too hard for you to wrap your mind around. But can I give you a suggestion that if he has brought everything that you see, feel, think, know, whatever into existence, then it's just but the tip of the iceberg of what he can do. There are other things that God has done that's so powerful, so miraculous, so mind-blowing that he wouldn't even let you know that because you couldn't even handle it. The intricacy of his knowledge is so mind-blowing that all he does is let you have the effect of his power without knowing how it works. Many of you couldn't explain how electricity gets from the power plant to your light bulb. All you know is you push a button if you pay your light bill, and it comes on. There are so many things God does for us each and every day. He works in the seen and the unseen, so much so that you would not exist if God didn't keep things in balance and control. And I got news for you. Even the chaos that exists today is permitted by his dominion. God holds back himself. Well, Psalm 35 says, for his anger endured but a moment. Why? Because if it lasted more than a moment, humanity would cease to exist. So he holds himself back. He won't let himself get but so mad, because whenever he gets mad, the world can't handle it. Aren't you glad he's not like you? Aren't you glad he's not mean and hateful and low down and vengeful? I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk about you like that. Aren't you glad God isn't like us? His anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. That's the only reason why he looks beyond your fault and meets your needs. Not because you deserve it, but because God is in control. Blesses you in spite of you. Told you don't do it. You did it anyway. He still bless you. Can't nobody stop him from blessing you when he want to bless you. Even your enemy can't stop him from blessing you. Because he's sovereign. He has dominion. And listen, so much better would he bless you if you obey him. Yes. Glory to God. So much better. He shines his sun on the just and the unjust. The rain, the same thing. Because he has dominion. And you know, I think I'm glad that another reason he has dominion for me is because he don't take recommendations from my enemies. Yeah, you know, some people don't like you for no reason. They don't even know you and they don't like you. They heard stuff about you, ain't even checked it out, don't know if it's real. But if somebody they know don't like you and talk back, and I'm so glad God don't even listen to none of that foolishness. He has dominion. He deserves the praise. No other person, no other power, no other potentate deserves the glory like God. Great is our God. And sometimes you ought to just take some time out and just walk through the word and just look at his greatness. Things that the word reveals about his greatness. And can I tell you, it has all not yet been revealed. But just what is revealed. Listen, he's so great that he stepped out on nothing. Called something into existence. Organized a world, put everything in place, worked for 6 days, and been on vacation ever since. Saw everything from the beginning to the end. Put everything dispensationally in place so that when certain things happen, other things would happen. Everything God saw from the beginning, before there was a was, he already was. And he did it before the world ever existed. Now, if that ain't great, I don't know what great. Matter of fact, you top that. You so big and bad, unimpressed, you top that. Yeah, you still worrying about your next paycheck and how you gonna pay your rent and all your money spent. And, you know, all that. God don't have no issues like that. Matter of fact, God said, listen, if he was hungry, he wouldn't even tell you. Why? Because you couldn't do nothing about it. His hunger is so great, there's nothing you could do to fill him up. And yet, he gives us our bread daily. Fresh manna from heaven. How great is our God. But then thirdly, there is a doxological praise. Because it says, and ever, amen. And so to understand that forever and ever, amen, it means that there is a continuation of his glory and his dominion and his reign forever. It means there is a perpetuity of time where there is a continuation without fail. It means literally world without end. It literally means that it keeps going and going and going and going eternally. And so to understand that there's never ever a day, don't care how you feel, that he's not worthy of his glory. Somebody missed that. You might not be feeling well that day, but God deserves your glory. That's why the psalmist says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because God has the glory and dominion over that day. Can't nothing happen in this day that God has not seen and authorized and organized and ordained. And that means if I get it right with him, then it's going to be well with my soul. So bring it on, devil. Because it had to be filtered through God before it could get to me. And he promised he wouldn't put more on you than you could bear. That's right, that's right. Amen. The devil could have his way. Would you be here today? No, you'd have long been gone. But he has dominion forever. Forever. And because he has this dominion forever, every day he gives me, I made up my mind, I will rejoice. Yes, sir. It's an act of my will and not how I feel. Because my will says God made this day. And if I go back to the original reference to when he made the day and put days in order, then whatever one of these days that represents the original day, the reference was it was good. Somebody just missed that. So what I need to hold on to is no matter what happens bad in the day is still good. And I've got a choice whether I focus on the bad or on the good. If I look for the negative or the positive, it's an act of my will. And not how I feel. That's why I'm going to be glad in it. Pain rocking my body, I'm still going to be glad in it. Because I could have been dead, sleeping in my grave. That's why I'm going to be glad in it. No matter what the situation is, because I've got a good God and great is my God. I'm going to tell you one more thing before you start that. When you see this doxological praise, forever, amen. The amen is not just the end, but it is the end of that truth that cannot be changed. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Unchanged. Time will come and time will go. But that truth will not be changed. It will remain. When you talk about amen, look, this is literally God himself in his own word putting a period to that. Which means that all heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of his word will ever pass. So that means that you can count on that. And so the doxology is so important because it is us giving God the glory that he deserves. You know, most church programs usually end with a doxology and benediction. Benediction is the final blessing prayer, evoking God's protection till we meet again. But the doxology is really the thing that we ought to focus on. We don't sing that much anymore now, but they used to sing doxologies like, Not God Be With You. That's part of the song. That's one of the old songs. I'm going to come to that in the end. But World Without End, what is it? As it was in the beginning?
And now and ever shall be.
No. What is the beginning of that song? Musicians, don't you know the doxology? I'm in your area now. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. That's a doxology. It's a doxology. Giving God the glory, recognizing that from the beginning he was, right now he is, and forever he shall be.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greater